Hey everybody, this is Pete A. Turner, a Mark's friend, and I'm doing today's intro because Mark is actually, last time I saw, I was on the website, he was attacking the Vincent Massive today. So I can't say whether or not he made it or not because I just don't know that yet. But you can also track Mark's adventures at markpattisonnfl.com and go to the Expedition tab and you slide down to where he's at. Vincent, click on his Garmin link and you also can get an idea of where he's at and what he's doing. It does look good though. It looks like he's been going up. So make sure you check that out. I know Mark is stoked for you guys to be able to follow that. Also, let's talk real quick about Mark's e-learning course, which he's been stoking up for over a year. It is ready to go. It is released. You can go to the website. There's an assessment tool that I highly recommend you take. It'll give you kind of an idea of how to work through your life's challenges, through your summits. And there's also a PDF that you can download for free. I'll tell you right now, I give this product my full endorsement. Mark has worked hard on it. It absolutely will get you going. Looking in terms of relationships, career goals, physical goals, whatever it is, Mark has got a program that truly will help you get going in a direction that you want to go in. All of these shows are brought to you by Cynthia Besteman's Violets Are Blue skincare products. Mark raves about them, and let me tell you, it's true. He actually uses them. He really does love them. So I definitely encourage you guys to go check out Cynthia's episode of the podcast or just go to her website. So now let's talk about today's guest, and wow, what a story. Christy Sobel was sitting at a red light with her life going in the right direction, pregnant with a little girl, until she was in a really, really bad car accident and it changed everything. Her daughter lost her life in the accident. Christy's back was destroyed. A procedure to fix that back failed. Her marriage ultimately couldn't withstand that, and she was prepared to die, and dang near did. She hit the threshold, she looked over and said, nope, I want to live. And that was when she turned things around and became what she calls a prize fighter. And for her, the prize is life. And I know you're going to love this story. She's a prize fighter, and I'm stoked for you guys to hear the show. Let's do it.
Hey, it's Mark, and I'm back with another awesome and inspiring episode of Finding Your Summit. And I'm so glad that everybody's joined today. I am broadcasting from my world HQ here in Sun Valley, Idaho. It's a beautiful spot. All the way across about 3,000 miles to Tampa, Florida. And I'm with Christy Sobel. Christy, how you doing?
I'm doing well, thank you.
Well, you know, actually, that's a fantastic answer, because we're going to get into some pretty deep stuff here about your past and your journey. And I know it's been a series of ups and downs. And so your response was, I'm doing well, thank you. And it's a lot better than I feel awful. And here's why. Right?
Absolutely. I think your whole response is your mindset.
Yeah, no, that's exactly right. And I think I'm going to go forward, which I don't normally do, just for a second, just to set the stage, and then I want to backpedal into some of these things that you've had to overcome. You've got this motto. I mean, that's my word. I mean, that may not be your word, but there's a catchphrase that I see with you over and over again, and different things that I've read about your history and your past and your story, and that's this whole notion of prize fighter. So let me get your definition of what that means.
Prize fighter for me is, the prize is life, and the fighter is how many times you get knocked down, you get back up quicker, smarter, and faster, and you never call it quits. You just keep fighting round one, round two, all the way to you get to the end of the fight, and then you begin again. So you never, ever forget what life you want, what you desire, and what you're willing to fight for.
You know, I love that. And there's so many things about overcoming adversity, obviously, and finding your way. And that's, you know, gosh, that's my story. I think sometimes in my situation, not everybody, but some people who don't know me look at my situation of playing in the NFL and climbing mountains and businesses and stuff like that. And, you know, it's just, it's not all what it appears, and you just come back stronger and more wise and maybe with better choices and everything else. But, you know, you just got to get back up on that horse as you keep going. And certainly you've done that in your life.
Well, I think you just said it. In yours, you had to, I don't know what it's like for somebody to come rushing towards me and wants to take me out, but I think life comes at you the same way. And I think that everything appears to be different than really what it is for most people. And I think life can be as good or bad as you make it. It's just your journey and your fight.
Well, you know, that's exactly right. And I've said so many different times to people around me that it's just what lens that you want to look through, right? And you can either look at me, your situation as poor me, or you can look at it as what a great opportunity. I've said this several times on different podcasts, my past podcasts, but the experiences that I went through, in particular with ending up in a divorce, 3-4 years ago, I would have never have been in the situation of talking to incredible people like you and others, climbing in the mountains, all these different things that have come out of kind of this adversity that I had to go through. And so it's just amazing if you can just stay positive and go towards the light and be open to possibility, what fantastic things can come your way.
I think what I've learned through this is you can stress out, you can overanalyze, you can think things through to the very end, and really you can only change what you can change. The rest of it, you have to have faith, or you just have to lead yourself, put one foot in front of the other, and keep going. I mean, divorce was something I went through, and it was brutal. It was one of the most heartbreaking things I think that I had to go through, with all of the adversity. That was kind of the final blow, but I didn't know where I was going. But I knew that I did not want my journey to end, and the only thing I knew what to do was to keep putting one foot in front of the other.
Yep, that's where you get the prize fighter. I love that.
Yes.
Okay, so let's set this whole thing up. So before we start talking about your accident, kind of set up what your life was like prior to, you know, what would almost become your obsession to overcome and fight back and recover and then thrive.
I kind of always been an entrepreneur. I went to school and got my degree in speech communication, and I always wanted to lend my voice to those that didn't have a voice. And I was speaking for Make-A-Wish, for Kids Wish, and then I found a passion because I had hurt my back a little bit, and I noticed that there were no purses out there that could be multifunctional, which means you could wear them four different ways. And I didn't want to wear a fanny pack, so I created a purse that became from one purse that I made to women that liked it, and I made another one and another one to four different manufacturers, one in the States, three others in other countries, and it just grew to an enormous genre of people. It was working class moms and working class people, men, women, that wanted something multifunctional, and that went along in life. And I loved that. I was very creative, did New York Fashion Show, New York Fashion Week. I love thinking out of the box. If I don't see something or find something, I create it. So I've always had that ability. And the sky was the limit for me. I mean, that was just the neatest thing about it is I saw it, I envisioned it, and I created it. That's just the way that I forged forward in my life.
In terms of time frame, where was this in your life?
This was a couple of years before the accident that I came up with the concept. I think I was juggling my dog and a bunch of paperwork and trying to grab something. And I thought, goodness, it would be so easy if I had something as a fanny pack, you know, that I could put my keys in, my money, and still have my, or be able to have a purse that had the conveniences to take things out and strap them on, and you know, can go on your way. And so it was a few years before the accident, and I really didn't know how much it was going to play a strategic part in my life for the years to come.
Yeah, so we're talking about, just to time frame this up, we're talking about, 2003, 2004, 2005, something like that in there. Okay, so were you in a relationship at this time?
I was. I was married in 2000. So I was married, yes, for when the accident happened, it was 2006.
Yeah, okay. So let's get into that. Let's talk about the accident. It sounds like it was a car accident, but I'm not 100% sure on that. So can you please, in 2006, set that up?
It was one afternoon. I was waiting at a red light, and the driver behind me dropped his cell phone, bent down to pick it up, hit the gas and not the brakes, and hit me from behind, killing my daughter and crushing my L4-5 disc. From that,
this is heart-wrenching to hear. I've got two daughters myself. So were you pregnant at the time, or was your daughter had already been born?
I was pregnant at the time.
Okay.
It all happened so fast. We had an option, and the doctor presented it as replacing the L4-5. They could fuse, or they could put an artificial disc in to replace my damaged. And the artificial device had just made it in the country. It was the Johnson & Johnson Charte artificial device. It had great reviews. It did very well. The doctor was behind it. We were told that technology is only going to get better. So, but fusion is forever. So we went forward with the surgery. And I remember when I woke up in recovery and my head and body didn't feel attached. And there was that moment where I went, oh my God, the life I know is over. I felt it. That moment that I can't describe, it was an out of body, out of mind, horrifying feeling. For the weeks to come, everything of my body started shutting down and malfunctioning, massive complications, everything from not able to swallow to not able to eat food or digest, control my bladder or bowels, regulate the temperature of my body, my heart going into arrhythmias, you name it, and my body was going through it.
So, so I want to break this down just a little bit. So let's go back to the accident. So this happens, and I'm imagining, like, with the severity of, you know, your body just being crushed, right, and all the other bad things that came with it, you're, like, laying there in your car. Your car's all banged up, and now they got the ambulance, and the street shuts down. Is that kind of what happened? And then from there, they rush you off to the hospital?
It was off to the side. We finally were able to move the car off to the side, and I think all I remember in it all is that my insides were being crushed. That's all I could think about. That's all I could feel. I just remember bits and pieces of people. A lot of it is a blur, I think, because the pain was so severe, and it just felt like I was being gutted. I just felt really not coherent with everything that was going on.
And I'm going to ask you this, and then I want to move on because it's a very sensitive subject. You went to the hospital, and like you said, you felt like your insides were just falling apart and being crushed. And at what point in time over the days or the weeks that the doctors came back, and obviously you knew you were pregnant, that they delivered the news that your daughter did not make it?
I was pretty far along in it, and I knew right away. I mean, I can't describe it. The feeling that I had, it was that I knew I wasn't going to be a mom. I knew it in my heart. I knew it in my soul. I knew something that was horrifically wrong with my body. I was very aware of everything before they even said anything. I can't describe it. I just knew before even test results and they came back to me. I just knew.
Yeah. So obviously when they confirmed what you knew, I can only imagine you're laying there and you're just crushed and you're in pain and, you know, you've got so many different things going on in your head. And now this is just, you know, another layer that, you know, I mean, I don't know. How do you deal with that? How do you get through that?
Honestly, there was so much pain. I didn't grieve the loss for a year afterwards or more. I don't think my body and mind were ready to acknowledge everything that was happening. It was just way, way, way too much that was coming all at once. And the pain was excruciating. And all I remember is my mind pushing it out of the way. I know what that sounds like, but that's what it was. My mind just couldn't take any more pain at the moment.
Yeah, look, it sounds to me like you're in survival mode. And who am I to judge, nor anybody else? When you're in that state of mind and your body is crushed, you know, you're just trying to figure out how do you get to the next day and next hour and just, you know, process everything. And it's hard to do when your body's broken up. My grandfather used to always say, if you don't have your health, you don't have anything. And that's exactly, you know, what part of what you were certainly dealing with at that time.
Yeah, I think everybody thinks if you have money, you have everything. But if you don't have your health, you can't enjoy it. When something like this happens, and that's always why I really take time today and stop and enjoy things, because it just, in a flash, everything was over. It was all gone. And so you go into survival mode when something like this happens.
So how long were you in this place where you've got this, you know, your L4 and your L5 need to be fused together? Your pregnancy was terminated, and everything is upside down, right? I mean, how long did that take for you to get to at least to a point where you're functional and you could walk around and you could, you know, life seemed to be somewhat back to normal?
I never reached that because I was in so much pain that I couldn't stand upright. I couldn't, the pain was so intense that every time I tried to eat, I threw it up. I couldn't sleep. I couldn't get comfortable. It was L4-5 was crushed, and the pain was enormous. I mean, I just remember, I couldn't even take a bath. To brush my teeth, you were asking me to climb a summit practically. It was the simplest task, were undoable. So I never recovered after the accident. It was a domino effect. My body just was in too much pain for me to, there was never any back to normal. We went into it that we knew either fusion or disc replacement. We knew that we had to do something because I couldn't. We went to the. I mean, this pain was so bad. I was on morphine lollipops. I mean, you could only survive for so long without just sinking. I just remember laying face down on the floor and telling myself, don't think about anything, just lines on the road. You're seeing one line, see the next white line, the next white line. That's all I could say over and over to myself and visualize it, because I had to keep my mind going forward. because I was so afraid if I stopped and thought about something that I would completely break some. I just couldn't take the pain. So, I just couldn't take.
Yeah, no, I can only imagine. And then the and again, this is something I think you mentioned about 15 minutes ago. You were married, and then that crashed. It was this also kind of a result of him not being able to deal with this and just, you know, the whole thing disintegrated? Or how did that play out?
After, he was good. And then after the accident, there was just a lot of things that fell apart. And there was things that he went through with his help. And with people not understanding what mental health issues are with others, they don't know what's best for them. And so I wasn't strong enough to keep him on track. And he did the best he could with me. And I didn't realize how much he had separated from us until it was way too late. It never, ever, ever crossed my mind that we would end up in a divorce, because I felt like I married the love of my life and we can endure anything. We couldn't. And that was hard. I mean, it was right there with the rest of the pain. I just knew going through it that he was in survival, but it was almost like he was looking for a way out.
This podcast is brought to you by Laird Superfoods. Let me tell you, these creamers are so amazing. They're super tasty, super delicious, and what they are is whole natural food ingredients mixed into these creamers. And I'm telling you, when you put this stuff into your drink, this powder substance, it is amazing. And their whole tagline is all about fueling your journey. You cannot go and actually power your way up a mountain, be in the pool, ride a big wave, unless you're properly fueled. And these guys are doing it all the right way. So where can you find this? At LairdSuperfood.com. And here's the kicker. If you use the code name MarkP20, that's MarkP20, you're going to get 20% off on your first order. So check it out, LairdSuperfood.com.
That he was in survival, but it was almost like he was looking for a way out.
Yeah. Well, look, different circumstance, same feeling. I've been through it. So,
yeah.
You know, I can absolutely relate. Okay, so what we talked about at the very beginning, that your motto is about being a prize fighter. Okay, so
yes.
So bring me to the threshold where you had to cross, where, you know, you're dealing with all these things, a lot of pain. You know, I mean, everything is a struggle, right? Going through this divorce. Mm-hmm. It's all in wrapped up in a ball. How did you untangle all this and get to the other side?
I think after the surgery, it was about a year before I was diagnosed with the complication that took place. I remember driving back from getting told that I had only a couple of months to live. I was 80 pounds, about bald. I remember waiting at a red light and asking myself, do I have anything left in me to keep fighting, or do I want to end it? And that's odd for me because I'm such a strong fighter, but I didn't have an answer. And all I could think of is there was a cement column in front of me, and I kept saying it over and over, and then I found myself saying it aloud over and over. And I couldn't come up with the answer. The light turned green, and I gunned it straight for that cement column, screaming about what do you want to do? And all I remember is screaming as loud as I could, I want to live. And I locked up the brake just before impact, and I started screaming, I don't want to exist or survive. I want to be a liver or nothing. And that was the moment where I said, I'm not going to die. I'm not going to let anything more be taken from me. I'm going to figure this out. And I'm going to beat whatever odds that lie in front of me. It was just in my gut that there was no stopping until I got to higher ground. And that's when it all kicked in of going home, learning about the illness that occurred, finding the expert that said what was going to happen if I had the surgery. It took me a few weeks to get him to reach back, you know, to contact me. And he said, I'm so sorry to hear what happened. There's nothing I could do. Good luck. And the following day, I boarded an airplane, flew to where he was, sat on his doorstep, and said, if I'm going to die, you're going to watch me. And at that moment, the doctor took me on, and that began the journey of making my way back. I had less than a 1% chance of making it back and a 0% chance of making whatever you would call it, a recovery, rebuilding. So it's a constant battle. It's a constant fight. You deal with a lot of pain every day, but it's the mental ball game that I've learned. If I keep saying it over and over, I say it probably 1,000 times a day. If my mind is strong, my body will try and follow along. And that has been my motto every step of the way. But I think the big thing that I learned is to rejoice in even in the smallest of things that you accomplish. Feel the joy, feel the feelings that you're feeling, and start living through that. Because of that, I found that a different part of me rebuilt, and I feel now stronger than I was before the accident. I feel more determined, solid, grateful. I was always grateful, but my outlook on life was always positive. But I think now it is, I love helping people. I love bringing light into people's lives. I love to make people belly laugh. I've learned you can laugh or you can cry, and I got sick and tired of crying. So I think it really is something that happened in my soul that I wanted to be the prize fighter. I wanted a life that I was going to enjoy and love, and I didn't know how I was going to do it. But I put one foot in front of the other, and I figured it out every day.
Well, the mind is certainly a powerful tool, right? And that can really shape and define who you are and where you want to go. And that's why you see all the time, and I'm making a bad analogy here, but you see all the time somebody sets the world record in swimming, and then the next guy comes along, you know, 4 years later and breaks it. Right. It's just, yes, like, you know, we go beyond these barriers that we think we can go. When I played football back in the day and going through two-a-days and being hit by these big monstrous dudes and now climbing mountains where it gets extremely cold and frigid and crazy things happen up there. It's a common statement I use because as other people are kind of fading, pain is temporary. And you just need to get through it. And I know that in your case, pain has been a lifelong journey, it sounds like. But overcoming that with the mental strength, it sounds, has been your recipe for getting you in a positive state of mind. And then also helping people. And I was reading something else that you've come up with I'm interested in to dive into a little bit. And I'm sure it's a result of these things you've gone through, but you've got this prize fighter 10-step program. What's that all about?
Well, when I was going through this, I had to figure out how are you going to do this. And if you think about anything that long and that hard, and you look at the road ahead of you, it seems undoable. So I started just one day figuring out What's the first step? Well, the first step is that if you don't take another step and you stay in one place, you're not going to get out of pain. You're not going to get moving any one direction. And the longer you stay in that, the fear sets in and you digress. So it was a matter of putting one foot in front of the other. The next was telling myself, you have nothing to fear but fear itself. Everything has been taken. What's left? So once I felt that energy, that was a surge, that was an empowerment of realizing that there was nothing else to fear. It was gone. So the next thing was to think about what was my short-term goal? Where did I want to get to? How, and then how are you going to get there? And each one of these steps, I learned that were the pivotal moments in which direction I took and how I was going to make my journey down that road. And the mindset of each one of those steps helped me figure out what the next one was going to be. And through that journey, then you start building what you wanted in your life. And because you can't have something, what are you going to do to fulfill that portion of your life? And then you go forward and you think, how can I help someone else find their way in life? And through each of those steps, I made myself stop and notate in a diary all of the pivotal moments in all of those steps. And I learned that one of the steps was to rejoice and grieve the sadness that for the joy.
Tell me to you what that means, the word rejoice.
Rejoice is celebrate the life that I had and the life that I was rebuilding.
Yeah.
And that at that moment, it was the pinnacle moment of going, man, I thought I had it great before, but this is by far the best moment of my life, because it overcame so much adversity, and I knew I had a ways to go still, but I remember looking around and taking note of how I felt and where I was and the strength that I had within. I started feeling fulfilled. I didn't need somebody to fill that hole in my heart. I didn't need to do drugs or this or things to get my mind off of the pain or make me happy or whatever. It was the steps that I took to make myself happy and what I was doing to bring others along in that journey.
Yeah, well, look, this is why you are a perfect guest on Finding Your Summit, all about people overcoming adversity and finding their way. And, you know, to that point, I really should have called this Finding Your Summits, plural.
Right? Yes.
Because it's really these, I mean, as we all look back on in our lives and you go like from 0 to 10, it defined, you know, one point. It's adolescence and learning how to talk and, you know, entering kindergarten and then you go to that kind of that second phase of between 11 and 20. I mean, think about, you know, high school and your first date and going to college for some. Whatever you're going to do, and then 20 to 30, and each one of these decades kind of defines, I think, all of us on the roadmap where we're going to go. So, but each one of these decades is always marked with some sort of, well, adversity. I was going to come up with a different word, but that's what it is. You know, where you fall off your horse, you got to figure it out, and you got to get back on. And then you make certain decisions, and hopefully that they put you in the right path and right frame of mind to accomplish where you're trying to get to. And over time, you know, you put all these experiences together and you can look back and hopefully you're a little bit wiser and your decisions are a little bit more sound. And I mean, I certainly couldn't have done this podcast 5 or 10 years ago if I hadn't gone through some of the things I've gone through. And it allows me to really sit where I am today and relate with people on many different levels based on things that have happened in my life over the course. So no, I totally appreciate, you know, what you're saying, and that I stopped you at the word rejoice. I'm not sure what step in the 10-step program that rejoice is on, but I mean, it's all part of the recovery and finally having that mindset to shift it to get you to that point of how you're going to get up every day and enjoy life and be the best that you can be.
I think the other thing is you have to take note. And what is it that you don't want to lose? Your faith, your trust. You want to believe that love is still there. You want that validation that someone will love you again one day, that you can find that happy point in your life of whatever that's going to be. I think that's the biggest thing that I found myself doing along the journey into the steps, is marking what I wasn't going to let the accident or the divorce or any of the things that came the stumbling blocks to define what I was going to feel later in life. I made sure that I dealt with that feeling and that pain so that I can overcome it, forgive it, so that I can live it again. And that's been the neatest thing about this, is going through those steps really, really were the next level to the 10-step program of knowing that you have to embrace it so you can understand what it is, how you feel about it, how you can get it back, and then so you can relive it.
Yep.
In a different form.
Yeah, so when you put all this together, okay, you sound like a very entrepreneurial sort. I think you've been out public speaking about your story. You've got this 10-step program, but when you put those things all together, how does that look in your life today? And maybe I just said it, but is that what you were doing? Are you still involved manufacturing and designing purses and things like that? Or are you just primarily focused on paying it forward and helping others find their way?
I'm designing and creating lives. I think that's the biggest thing today, is I have donated a lot of time to the people that need me. I donate a lot of my time to our veterans that serve for this country. I also do a lot of public speaking. I have looked at a lot of opportunities that have opened up in doing shows and doing documentary things of that nature. But I think that through the journey, I have just kept paying it forward and designing and helping people create their lives again and finding their path. Everybody comes to crossroads, and that's where I end up. I don't know how I get the bookings that I get. It's just the people that come to me. And so the biggest journey of this all is, again, putting one foot in front of the other, speaking to different groups of people, taking it to the next level, helping companies figure out how to get their employees to be more productive. The biggest thing I always say is business, professional and personal, you can't keep them apart, because if one is falling apart, it affects the other. And usually there is a key factor in it that is causing the wrench in the whole process, and it's figuring out what that is. So I think that my voice at this point has been the biggest tool that I've been given. My spirit has been that of healing, and I think that my desire to live the best life possible is what ensures every day for me to keep going forward and smiling as big as I do and laughing as hard as I am, I always end up doing.
Yeah, I love that. I mean, essentially, you're paying it forward, and that's what I think ultimately life is all about. So where can people find you?
You can find me at KristySobelHope.com, and that's KristySobel, hope.com. You can find me on LinkedIn, YouTube, Patience Podcast, of course, your show. You can Google me, and you can find me on probably 20 different sites.
Well, that's what I did, and I did find you on There you go. There's a laugh. So, okay, listen, Kristy, love having you on the pod, and I love stories that, in your case, it started off as a, you know, definitely you went through a lot of adversity, and you found your way. You figured out a way to overcome everything, and, you know, you're still on track of waking up. You have certain strategies that put a smile on your face when your feet hit that floor. You know, now you're paying it forward and showing other people how they can do the same thing. So thank you so much for being on the pod, and I can't wait to share this with everybody.
Thank you so much. It's an honor.
Hey, and thank you so much for listening to the Find Your Summit podcast. We are so glad to have you along for this journey. And if you enjoy the show, please tell a friend, share it on iTunes, spread it to the planet. We're looking to broadcast this to every person that is out there because, as you know, everybody has their own summit that they're going after. Okay, if you're looking to follow my journey, you can find that through my social links on markpattisonnfl.com. That's Mark, M-A-R-K, Pattison, P-A-T-T-I-S-O-N, nfl.com. So, until the next podcast, just remember, clear eyes, full hearts, and remember, it takes a little more to make a champion, so make it happen. Thank you. Bye.
This podcast is a part of the C-Suite Radio Network. For more top business podcasts, visit c-suiteradio.com.